Oh, we have an earthquake this morning. There ain't no way I can finish this. Go to 13. Okay, I didn't finish 11. Sure I did. I said his name was in the... I told you what his name was. Destroyer. The angel of destruction for Abaddon, and Apollyon is the self, the destroyer, which is self. Verse 12 says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes hereafter. Woe, woe, woe. Pain, grief, and suffering. And as long as we stay in Mount Ophel, Mount Moriah, we got pain, grief, and suffering. Until we come to Mount Zion, see that place where the lion can't walk and the vultures can't fly there? Guess what? We're serpent food. What's the serpent food in Genesis? The dust of the earth. Well, dust and sand. Sand's just a little bit bigger grains of dust, isn't it? See? So as long as we stay in these lower two realms of the of God's life that He set up for us, we're serpent food. How could I complain? Why should I complain if I walk in this place right here and there's a bunch of snakes right here and I walk in and they start biting me on the legs, ouch, 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 and I just keep the ouch, 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 and they just keep eating me up? Well, if I come on up out of that dust realm, snakes can't fly, can they? See? But if I stay in this death realm, the ouch, ouch, I get bit again, and we get bit every day, ouch, 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 and that's all we do, we murmur and complain about the serpents biting us, don't we? All we have to do is come on up. Man, that sounds simple to me. I mean, it really does. But we stand there and let them snakes bite us and bite us and bite us, and the scorpions sting us and sting us, and all we do is murmur and complain. All we have to do is come on up. They have no access into here. There is no access. Whew. The keys was given to us, not to them. It was given to the Christ. The Christ has the keys to ascend above this stuff. I'm trying to tell you, God's trying to tell you, you have the keys within yourself. You have the keys to the bottomless pit. If the mind of Christ He's placed within your hearts. You have a way to come out of this thing. You don't have to settle for being beat up. You don't have to have snake bites from your ankles to your shins. You don't have to. You can ascend above it. You can be just like Paul in Acts 28, I believe it was, where the snake bit him and he just shook it off in the fire. And everybody said, oh, he's a bad person. See, that he escaped the sea from drowning and now the serpents come out and bit him. He'll die for sure now. And said after a long while there was no hurt. And see, we've got to come to that place where we can stand up and let the serpents bite us and shake them off and say, I'm not going to let them rule my life any longer. And eventually people's going to look at you and say, oh no, he wasn't wicked. He's a man of God. They're a woman of God. Because only they could do those things. See? You've got to come to a place where you see this in your life. You've got to take the hit and stand. Shake it off in the fire. Go on about your business. See? You've got to find your destiny. You've got to know your identity and your destiny. Huh? What? I know. That's what I said. We just went that one more verse. You said a couple more. I can't go anymore. One woe is past. More after two more comes. And I said the sixth angel sounded. Did I go that far? Okay. One woe is past. Behold, there are two more woes. Next week I'll get to the sixth angel. Okay? Know this. God has given us the understanding. I don't say this with pride. I say it with humility. God has given me an understanding of Scripture that it rocks my whole world. And sometimes as I begin to minister, He just pours things in me as I minister. He doesn't show me ahead of time. And I just speak out what He gives me. As if you asked me what I've said today, I couldn't tell you. I have no clue about some of the things I've said. I just repeat what I'm hearing in my spirit. But I know this. You have heard words today that there's very few that's heard. I know that. It's not in pride. I'm just telling you, you've been graced to hear them. Not because I spoke them, because the Spirit of God spoke through me. I'm graced to hear them in my ears. I spoke things in my ears today that I hadn't heard before this morning. I probably heard it before the foundation, but I just never heard it in this realm before. It's okay. It's all right. God is doing what God is doing. And I'm just glad to be part of it. I'm just plumb tickled about it. You ought to know you're hearing words of life that can set you free from all this old religious hoodoo. We're free people. And what you don't understand is the life that you have within you is not your own. This life within you is a life you have to give to someone else. Because if we only hoard it up within ourselves, we're greedy people. I want everybody to get what I got. And in God's time, they will. See? The reason I've got it is to give it to someone else. And that's the only purpose that you're getting it, to give it to someone else. Jesus didn't come down here to be served. He came here to be the servant. And that's what we are. We're the servants. And we'll serve it to Him. Father, we bless You today. Oh, Lord, we bless You. We thank You for the revelation of Your Word, the understanding of this Word in us, that this is not a revelation of some monster and ten-headed beasts and all these bad things going to happen, Father, but it's a revelation of Jesus Christ within our life. Father, help us to understand this book is a life to us. It's not some threatening thing, but it's an encouragement and understanding by the Spirit that we have already overcome. Father, You're calling it to our remembrance. We were with You before the foundation. When the morning stars sung together, Father, we were right there. And Father, we know the voice of our shepherd and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Father, we love You this morning. We bless You. We thank You for all things that You've provided in our lives. And Father, again, for the love that You've given us that we can touch others with, we bless You for it. We thank You for the opportunity. Okay, today I will begin in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, and I will begin at the 13th verse, and I will read it as follows. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor their thefts. Father, may You help me today to get this understanding to a place where it can be palatable to everyone's spirit, and may they understand by Your Spirit the truths that You have for us today. Again, back to this sixth angel that sounded. The number six, of course, means man. So what would this be saying? This man angel, or this angel of humanity, sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns. Four speaks of completeness. Horns speak of authority. So we speak about this angel in humanity that has complete authority. That's speaking of the Christ. And he said, which had the trumpet, which is the Word of God. And he said, loose, or literally release, the four angels. Well, these four angels, four again speaks of what? Completeness. Angels as messenger. So it's the completed angels, or the complete message, or literally all the angels. Loose all four of them, okay? Loose all the angels. which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay, what is the river? River is basically water, correct? Okay, so water also is word, correct? And we go into the word Euphrates. Euphrates is a river where? It's in Egypt. Egypt represents the world. So we see this great flow of words from the world. So we see all this people that are bound by the great river Euphrates, or literally they're bound by the worldly words, the flow of worldly words that's in the church today, that's in our minds today. So we see these people running around, bound up by all the words that they're speaking. And does not Scripture say that we have the power of life and death in the tongue? Are we not snared by the words of our mouth? And of course, these worldly words that we speak, and not the words of the kingdom of God. If we were speaking the kingdom of God, we'd be speaking the language of the kingdom. And very few people today speak the language of the kingdom. They speak a mixture. They have the Assyrian way, or the Samaritan way, the mixture way. They have the spirit and the flesh mixed together. And see, God's kingdom is all spirit. So we want everything to go back to the spirit. If we do that, we'll have the language of the kingdom. Okay, verse 15, and the four angels, or the complete angels, or all the angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. For what? Not for two, but in order that they would slay the third part of humanity. Okay? And the number of the army of the horsemen, or that horseman can be the demonic influence, it can be actually the self-life. So what was prepared was 200,000, and I heard the number of them, or literally I understood the number of them. Now, what is that number, 200,000? If you look it up literally, it says myriads, and in the word myriad, it just means an innumerable amount. You can't number it. If you wanted to go into reality and see the literal number of it, 200,000, it would be 20 million or 200 million, and horsemen and horses, there's not that many horses on the face of the earth, so nowhere near it. Not even a tenth of that, probably. So that's just totally ridiculous to think about that. And he said, verse 17, and in this way or thus I saw the horses, right, or the horses, the horse in the vision, and them that sat upon the horses, right, having breastplates of what? Fire. The word is purinos. Purinos. And literally it means it's purification. Okay? Fire purifies. And of jacinth. Jacinth literally is a word that means it's like a chameleon collar. It goes to the collar where it is. Changes to whatever is there. And out of their mouths issued what? Fire. Right? And fire is pure. It means it's a spiritual fire. Nothing, I missed a word, I didn't. It says fire and brimstone. Okay, brimstone is sulfur. Sulfur is used for purification in the Old Testament. In every sacrifice, sulfur was added for purification. So guess what? We're talking about fire and purification here. Fire purifies and corrects, and so is the brimstone or sulfur. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Didn't say they were like lions. It said they were like lions, right? So, what would that be, a positive or negative? These people had the heads of lions. Is this a positive thing or a negative thing? It's a negative. So, we see that the lion can be positive or it can be negative. Jesus was of the lion. It was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Absolutely a positive. And Peter said, our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's a negative. Well, here we're in a negative also. We're talking about the lions devouring. And out of their mouths issued fire, which is that purification, and smoke, and again, brimstone, which is theon, is the word, which is sulfur, which is purification.
And by these three, the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, that's what he's talking about here in verse 18, and by these was the third part of humanity killed, right? From the fire, and from the smoke, and from the brimstone, which issued from out of their mouth. Okay? What do you think this is all about? Fire, purification, judgment spoke out of the mouths of these people. Their own mouths were snared by their own words. And smoke. Smoke speaks of ignorance, darkness, cloudiness, not seeing clearly. Okay? Speaks of their ignorance. And brimstone is that sulfur or purification. All these words come right out of the mouth. And by these was the third part killed, the smoke, the brimstone, and the fire that issued out of their mouths. Verse 19, because their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. What do you think this really means? For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. We know that the power of life and death is in the tongue. But we're talking about people that speak and talk about things they don't really know about. We know in Isaiah 9:15, I believe that is where it is, the ancient and honorable is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So these people are controlled by a tail, the false prophets. It's within them. It's not somebody outside. It's within them. They're listening to their own mind, their own soulish realms. Because their tails were likened to serpents. We know that's not the ones serving God, are they? And they had heads, and with them they do hurt. See, they have their own humanity. They don't have the mind of Christ. They have the mind of humanity. And the rest of humanity, which were not killed by these plagues, yet did what? Repented not, or they did not think differently. Metanoia is the word. It means to change the way you think. So even with all these judgments coming upon humanity, that stiff-necked, rebellious people that God dealt with in the Old Testament is still here. We see them today all around us. And they repented not from all these calamities and plagues that's in their life and of the works of their hands. See, works. I'm either serving God or I'm serving humanity. And my hands are working the works for myself or they're working for God. And these people didn't repent of their works of their hands that they should not worship devils, okay, or demonic beings, and idols or images of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. What he's saying is, all the things that we see in our minds, all the images that we see in our mind that we create because of the ignorance of the smoke and the darkness that's within our minds, those things cannot see, speak, or help us in any way. Those are things that we've created with our own works, with our own mind, and we've laid these things up and we worship them. And people say, well, I don't worship anything like that. All hogwash. You do. Anything you see and you think you couldn't possibly be wrong at, you think you've got locked up, you think you have the absolute ultimate in, I guarantee you 99.9% of them are wrong to some degree. Now, everything is not wrong. But see, if our foundation is not laid exactly perfect, and that foundation is Christ, so that means I have to get my foundation laid, which is the mind of Christ within me. If my foundation is the mind of Christ, then I know what I build upon that will be level and true and straight and plumb. But if it's not, then guess what? It's off somewhere. Then my building, my tabernacle, is not true, level, square, and plumb. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to get the foundation right first, which is the Word of God, which brings the mind of Christ. David said in Psalms 119, 187 times, he said it in six or seven different ways, according to thy word, according to thy precepts, according to thy commandment, according to thy law, according to several other things there. But he said 187 times, according to thy word. All those things speak of the same thing, the word of God, the law, the precept, the commandments, whatever he's speaking of there. It's all talking the same thing. In one chapter, he says that. In 176 verses, he says it 187 times. I think he was putting definition to what he was trying to tell us. Nothing can be done except according to the word of God. See? So anything we do outside the word of God, we're outside the foundation. I know the foundation must be there first. And all these things that we have in our mind, and we all have these things that we need to deal with, there are things that we've created, idols from out of gold. See, what do we think that is? It's an image that we think is God. It's not really. Silver speaks of redemption. We have an idea of redemption that's not really redemption. It's not God's redemption. It's what religion has taught us about redemption. Brass speaks of the sufferings that Christ went through. See, we have an idea what suffering for Jesus means. We really don't. It's not really what God's talking about. It's talking about what man thinks. See, there are images that we've created. Our own works have created these things. And of stone and of wood. Stone speaks of the foundation again. That foundation's all wrong. And of wood, that speaks of humanity. See, even our idea of humanity isn't even right. We think what we think. They're idols. And none of these things can neither see nor hear nor walk. They're literally just images, idols in our own mind. If we can truly look and see that the idols that are in our mind, the images in our mind, are truly not what God says by the Spirit, then we have the potential to walk into the truth. In John 1 and 12, God told John to write these words. To them that received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. See, to those that received him. What did they have to do? Receive. How hard is it to receive? Not hard at all. Just receive. But see, humanity, because of these idols of gold, silver, and stone, and wood, and all brass, and all that stuff, because of those things in our mind, we can't receive. See, we've locked it up. We've become Hamath, the high-walled city. We've got our minds locked out to the truth. We're no longer teachable. We are still high-walled cities. We think we're better. We think we already know. So we're better than all these people that run around the world and say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a son of God, or I'm a child of God, or I'm in the kingdom, and I'm this and I'm that. And all they are is talking words. They're parroting what someone else has said. There's nothing that makes me any more nauseous than to go into a meeting somewhere and someone wants to tell some great thing they've came up to, and all they say is, Preston said, Gary said, Elwin said, Stacy says, Joe says, Dave says. See, I don't want to hear that anymore. And I think God's sick of hearing that. I know I am. I want to hear what God says in your life. What is your life about? Is your life just about parroting what someone else says? If it is, you need to get a life. And that life is called Christ. And let Christ speak the reality in your life so you will no longer be a mimic of something, but you'll be the reality of Christ that's within you. Good God, can you hear what the Spirit wants you to do? He wants you to have that intimate relationship. He wants you to go around and tell people what the Spirit is saying, not what somebody else said. Come on, that's all religion has done for 2,000 years, is walked around and talked about what somebody said. And that somebody is not the Christ. The Christ is within us, and He wants to speak out. Let Him speak. Listen to Him. And go to the Word and find your witness of it. Don't walk around and be part of religion that just memorizes somebody else's words and regurgitates them when they get in a meeting and find goosebumps running around. That's not what God's about. Come on. Get our minds open. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We have ears to hear, and we have eyes to see. Let's use them. God gave us a mind. He wants us to think. Let's get started and do what God wants. Isn't it time? Come on. Oh, my God. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now, this 21st verse, he said, they didn't repent, metanoia. They didn't change the way they think. See, they still think about what they think is the gospel. There's so many people that tell me they know what the gospel is and haven't got a clue what it is, but they think they got it. See, another one of those idols that they've made up in their mind. And said they neither repented of their murders. You know what? The book tells me the spirit of jealousy turns in to murder. When Cain was jealous of what Abel did with God, of giving a righteous sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, Cain was angry. He was jealous, and it turned into murder. How many people today in the body of Christ are jealous about what God's doing through somebody or with somebody? I want to be there, and I'm jealous, and because they get it and I don't, I'm mad. Well, see, that's the root of murder. And everybody can get there if you let yourself go in those idols that you've created. See? Don't think that you're above somebody else, and don't think you have everything. I know I don't have total understanding of everything going on. I'm in the process of getting there, and I'm going to get there. I'm not there yet. And I don't think for a minute that I'm any better than anybody else. And I'm not jealous of anybody for what they have in the natural or in the spirit, because I don't think that He poured out His Spirit upon me with measure. I received it without measure. Scripture tells me He poured out His Spirit without measure upon the Son. I am part of that Son. So I received that same Spirit without measure. You hear what I'm saying? If you're part of that Son, if you're part of the body of Christ, guess what? You've got the same Spirit without measure. If you don't believe it, you'll never walk in it. You've got to believe what God's doing. Nor did they repent of their sorceries. That's witchcraft. Do you know that most of the church today works in witchcraft? Pharmakia is the word. Sorceries. Same place we get our word pharmacy for drugs. But see, drugs are something that alters our mind. Are they not? Many mind-altering drugs out here. And the church today is giving the word of man, the doctrine of men, rather than the doctrines of God. And guess what they're doing? They're altering the minds of humanity in the wrong way. They're not hearing the word of God, which will give us this true spiritual understanding. We're just having the carnality that man can bring forth. Because seed can only produce like kind. If I am ministering out of the carnality of my mind, you'll do nothing but get worse. But if you're hearing the Spirit speak through me or through anyone else, you're going to hear what life is about. Okay? But their sorceries, their mind-altering, their mind-control, manipulation. You know, we see all this stuff about this in churches. They manipulate you. They tell you, if you go here or you go there, you'll go to hell. You've got to stay with us because we're the only ones that's right. See? Well, then God sure has a narrow mind if we think that each one of these little organizations has everything that God has. Again, God put all these eggs in one basket, and I don't believe that for one minute. And they really don't either. They're just in deception. Nor of their fornication. Fornication does not speak of literally a sexual act, but it talks about the body, the bride of Christ, being unfaithful to her man, Christ. And today the woman, the church, is not, and most people's woman, their soul, is not faithful unto the Christ. Few would find the way to life. Very small remnant, Isaiah says. And I think in the Kings or the Samuel, he says that there were 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. It's always a small group that's going to be faithful, unrelenting unto God. Nor of their thefts. Okay? You know what that brings me back to? John chapter 10, and I'll turn there if you want to. John chapter 10, verse 8. And I'll read you something. Jesus is speaking here. I'll read verse 7 to get the context. Then said Jesus unto them, verse 7 of John 10, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that even came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay? They didn't want to repent of their thefts. And today, the body of Christ has been robbed. The thief has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And has been doing it rampantly in the body of Christ. We don't realize how much that man's religious system has so brainwashed us and stole the power and the glory of God that He has placed upon us and within us from us. It's those same tales He speaks about in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. This tale that did cast... Oh my, I gotta go there. Let me turn to Revelation 12. Yes. In Revelation 12, verse 4, And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. The tail of the dragon, Isaiah 9:15, I think it is. The ancient and the honorable is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. See, we've got all kinds of tails out here that's casting people from heaven to earth, from the spirit realm back into the death realm, to the realm of woe, 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 to pain, to grief, and to suffering. We have got people out here who have no idea what life is about, and they're telling people that they are life, and their words are life, and they're speaking out of the carnality of the dust, the mind of dust and sand, and there is no life in the dust or the sand. The only life we have is the Spirit of God that He's placed within us. And that is in the heavenly realm. And that's why Paul said, we are seated in heavenly places. Present tense. Right now, we're not going to be anything. We already are. We be who we be. We're sons of God from the very beginning. Romans 8:29 says, To those He foreknew, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those words, to be, are not in the writings. Those are added in by those tales again. We already are conformed to the image of His Son. In the day that we were created in the image and likeness of our God, our Father. We're not going to be created. We already are in that image. We just don't believe it. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You just don't believe. The same as Abraham became righteous by one method, it's the same for us. Like Father, like Son. Father Abraham became a Jew because he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But guess what? We're no different. We have to believe in the finished work that God has done. And when we do, we will be accounted as righteous. No different from Father Abraham. See, we believe God. When Jesus walked the earth, He said, I don't do anything that I don't hear my Father say or don't do anything I don't see Him do. See, He believed what God said was right. And when we believe it, we'll stand in that same place as Abraham and as all the other prophets and as Christ Himself upon the earth. We just don't believe what He says to us. We got to stop listening to the tales that's wagging out here. We got to start hearing the Christ that's within us. No longer to hear the doctrines of men. They've brought no life. And now is the time we can no longer stand and listen to that stuff. Jesus said he could raise up stones to worship him, rise up suns out of the stones. I don't want a rock to take my place, and I don't think you do either. But you've got to know one thing. You've got to break all your idols. And I don't care if your idols are made out of gold or silver or precious jewels or brass or wood. I don't care what it's made out of. I don't care how much value you place on what you think. What you think is not necessarily true. And the only way to find out what is the truth is talk to the one that has truth, and that's God. See, God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, my words are truth, and they are life. They're spirit, and they're life. In the Old Testament, it said, thy word is truth in the Psalms. Thy word is truth. David said that of his father. He knew what his father said was truth. See, today we don't believe that. We only believe what we think is comfortable, what is palatable to our soulish realm that we live in. If it's good and feels good, then okay, we can do it. But see, God is not spelled G-O-O-D. God is spelled G-O-D. And see, He doesn't have to be palatable to us. He doesn't have to be comfortable with us. All He has to be is who He be. He's God. We don't have to impress anybody. We're not in a popularity contest. We're in the business of doing the truth, doing what our Father wants us to do. That's all that's important to us in our life. And when it is, you will be rejected just as He was rejected from the very beginning when they had a king over them who was God and they didn't want it. And they said, no, give us a king like the heathen people have. They wanted Saul. Okay, you got Saul. And he sure gave them a fine time. Go read the book. I ain't got time to preach it. But know this, we're no different today. We don't want God telling us what to do in our lives. And when we're that way, it just tells me you have not the mind of Christ. See, I want my God to direct me because my God will not hurt me. He will not do anything that's not good for me. He's taken care of me. He has my thought first and foremost in His mind, in His heart. He's changing me. He's letting me see that the way that I do things are not right. Proverbs tells me on several occasions, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death. Death. It's carnality. If it begins there, it'll end there. And as the sign says in the front of this room, origin determines destination. If I start with carnality in my mind, I can't change it into spirit. I can put on the mind of Christ, but the old man's got to go. Paul said, we got to put off that old man. See, that old way of thinking, that old humanity, can't do it. See, we're a new humanity today. We're a humanity infused with the Spirit of God. We always have been, we just didn't believe it. And God wants to set us free and let us know that this book of Revelation is not here to hurt you in any way, but it's here to let you know what He has done for you and how much He loves you, that He would go through all this to set it up, to reconcile you back, to recover you from the snare of your own thinking and your own ways. He loves you so much that He's willing to send His Son and put Him on a tree and die that you could walk in the liberty and be who He's called you to be, the sons of the living God. Oh, Lord, thank You for this time this morning to share. Father, we bless You and we thank You for everything You've given us, for all the things You do for us, but Father, most of all, for the love of Your heart that's been placed within us. We bless You and we thank You today, Lord. And Father, I bless the people today.